Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and this is CougarCast. This week I am flying solo. Tosh is out of the country. And so this week I'm deciding to do something a little bit different than what we normally do here on the CougarCast show. One of the things that I had the great opportunity to do was to go and be on KVNU, the home of the Aggies, in Logan. I've got 20 minutes the other day in prime time there in Logan to discuss the BYU-Utah State matchup right there on the home of the Aggies on KVNU. And so what I'm going to do is play my interview that I had with Eric Franson, who runs the Full Court Press show about Utah State athletics. It's a nightly show that they do there on KVNU. And I want to thank KVNU for first having me on, but secondly, allowing me to use their interview with me on this podcast. So we'll play that, and I hope you enjoy that, and we'll be back to join you after the interview.
Speaking of Friday night, big matchup between the Utah State Aggies and the BYU Cougars. And interesting setup in this game, as Utah State has really been Jekyll and Hyde. Last week, a great win for them on the road. But in other times they've been on the road, hasn't been so hot. Aggie fans went from wanting to fire the coach and bench the starting quarterback to now we're feeling a little bit better about things. Meanwhile, BYU, at 1-3 on the season, they have not beat a Division I team yet. And they've coming off of a bye week. A lot of concern down in Utah County and among all BYU fans as this game comes at an important time really for both programs. And so continuing to look at the matchups, the storylines leading up to the kickoff tomorrow night. And with me to get a little bit more of the BYU perspective on what these storylines are about and what this game means to BYU fans is Keith Schertz. He participates in VanquishTheFoe.com. He's a writer and contributor. He also has the BYU sports podcast called CougarCast. And Keith and I have swapped stories back and forth. I've participated in his programs and he's participated in ours. And I thought what a good person to tap to find out what's going on in the BYU perspective for this matchup tomorrow night. Keith, thanks for hopping on and joining me tonight on the Full Court Press.
Hey, thank you so much, Eric, and really appreciate the opportunity to come on. Obviously, to be on the Full Court Press on KVNU, the home of the Aggies, is an honor. And I will try to fill in for those great men that you're normally with, but thank you for having me on.
I think, first of all, the biggest question on my mind, I want to get your perspective on this, is this, from a BYU perspective, is this game against Utah State, is this mean more for BYU perhaps than we've seen in our lifetimes, or at least in our recollection?
It's a big game. Are they playing for the wagon wheel? Then it's an important game. That's where I'm at. But it is a really super important game for BYU this year. I don't know. I can't speak to what it means for Aggie fans and how important it is. I suspect it's a pretty important game there. But for BYU, in the micro, they're playing for the wagon wheel, in-state rivalry game. It's an important game. On the macro level, this is really kind of the game-changing point of the season for BYU. If they lose to Utah State, strong chance they'll start 1-6. They got Boise State, Mississippi State following weeks, and then they're going to need to win 5 of the last 6 games to make a bowl game, and 4 of those last 6 games are on the road. So, really, it's going to be a very important game for BYU to change some of the momentum of their season and to be able to set themselves up to, you know, get ready for the stretch run and make a push to getting that 6-win threshold.
So they had a bye week last week, and from reading the media accounts, watching their press conference this week, sounds like players got together and held a players-only meeting got each other riled up and called each other out or try to get each other focused. Do you feel like that's what the team needed and they're all of a sudden going to flip a switch now and be a different team? Or is there – can they really make up that much ground?
Yeah, I think it's a fair concern. I don't know. If you ever hear about a players-only meeting, it's always bad news, right? I haven't heard a team that was doing really good be like, no coaches, just players. So it's not good. Fred Warner, who's one of the team captains, the star outside linebacker, one of the few players who's really played well consistently this year. He said that you should expect a different BYU football team. I don't know that you can flip a switch. In the NBA, the players seem to be able to get into playoffs and actually flip the switch. But in college football, you kind of are who you are. And BYU played a tough, ambitious schedule these last 3 weeks, and they didn't show very well for themselves. It's okay if you go out there and you play well enough, and let's say you lose all three games, fine. But they played in a way that almost any team in the country would have shown for themselves against those three schools. They did not do anything special or show even flashes of, hey, there might be something there. So I'm a little skeptical that you can just flip a switch and everything can be solved. But I do think with the bye week, an opportunity to work on fundamentals and an opportunity to kind of regroup, I do think that, and frankly, if there needed to be some calling out of one another, I suppose that could help. But ultimately, I do think that BYU is flawed, and I expect that I'm very curious to see what will happen on Friday night and see what we have, because it to me, it's the litmus test game. It will tell us a ton about how the season's going to go.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think for a lot of Aggie fans, the litmus test for Utah State was last weekend, and Utah State just demolished San Jose State.
They did.
And now everybody's like, well, maybe it wasn't quite the litmus test. I mean, they don't want to give the team that much credit just yet. But one of the things that's really interesting about this series and this game is that these two teams, as the season is still young, have already had a common opponent. They both have faced Wisconsin. Both teams struggled. Utah State was able to get a little more offense earlier in the game, but their second half got away from them. How much do you think that really plays into what we might see on Friday? The fact that they've had a common opponent, both teams got beat up pretty bad by a very good Wisconsin team. Do you take much from that?
Leading back to the bye week, it maybe helps BYU avoid a little bit of a body blow after getting beat up by Wisconsin. So that might be one thing that the bye week helps with. I don't know how much that you can judge. I think Utah State is vastly different than the team that opened up the season. I think that they've done things differently. They've had a couple games where they've been able to show that they can be productive on offense, to show that their defense can really shut a team down, and they've been able to, you know, build on those things and have a little momentum come their way. Really, there hasn't been a moment this year for BYU to establish themselves in any way. I think that they're still in first gear, and I think the Aggies have probably shifted up a little bit. And so I wouldn't say that I would take a whole lot about the two teams have played the common opponents. Both of them got rolled by Wisconsin. I suspect the Badgers are pretty good. But yeah, that's how I feel. What do you take from that?
Well, I see that Utah State certainly looked better in their first half. They were competitive offensively. They were aggressive defensively. They looked like they could play against a Power 5 school.
But the second half got
away from them.
Did they get a stop against Wisconsin defensively?
They did.
Oh, so they did better than BYU did.
Not in the second half. Wisconsin did whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, but Wisconsin did whatever they wanted to do the whole game in Provo. That's interesting. So you felt that the Aggies showed they acquitted themselves much better in the first half than BYU did.
Yes, yeah. I feel like they had Wisconsin on the ropes for the first quarter. for sure, and then half of the second quarter, and then things started to turn their way, Wisconsin's way a little bit. Key defender for Utah State gets ejected, and that kind of lets some of the air out, and then they start to roll after that. But it's hard to know. I mean, Wisconsin's just a really, really good team. But the thing that looking at BYU, too, is their first game of the season against an FCS team wasn't exactly lights out either. And so was that the early canary in the coal mine that, gosh, maybe this team's not quite all there just yet?
I think that that is an extremely fair criticism of that team. In fact, that's almost generous of you to say. Look, they're in a bad spot right now. I think the fairest criticism that you could have of the BYU football program right now, at its most generous, you would say that BYU's coaching staff failed to get the team ready in their second year of coaching. They didn't come remotely close to preparing their football team for the 2017 season. And at its most lethal, in terms of criticism, but I also think it's fair, is that I think, you know, I talked on my show last week that it's really hard to find any aspect of the game in which BYU has shown, like, well, they can do that at least. And that's a problem. If you can't point to anything and say, well, at least we have that, that's an issue. And I guess, you know, what I'll bring up for you is that, you know, offensively, it's been well broadcasted and discussed. The offense is bad. But the defense is the part nobody's really talking about. Against FBS opponents, they've only forced 13 incompletions. That's an average of just over four a game. And five of those 13 incompletions were passes that were just simply thrown away, Eric. And so when the quarterback was actually trying to hit one of his receivers, the Cougars have only forced eight footballs to hit the turf. They've only recorded one sack this season. They can't generate pressure against the quarterback, so they're not good against the pass. And unbelievably, defending the run has been even more difficult for BYU this year. Now, John Taylor from Wisconsin. They faced Darius Geis, so there is a little bit of that. But they're surrendering over 215 yards a game on the ground. That's 103rd worst in the entire nation. Yeah, and that's the good side of the ball for BYU.
That should be their strength.
That's the good side of the ball.
Considering. Yeah. Again, we're talking to Keith Schertz. He is a contributor on VanquishTheFoe.com. He also hosts a BYU sports podcast called CougarCast. And Keith, one of the things that we're looking at, too, is what's going to happen at the quarterback position for BYU. Probably still going to be Bo Hodge. We don't know
it's
for sure.
Be
I guess that's what everything seems to be pointing towards. Is he, though, a more dangerous quarterback for Utah State to be going up against with his mobile ability?
I think more dangerous than Tanner Mangum is tough for me to say. I'm a believer that Tanner Mangum is the best offensive player that BYU has. He did not look good. I understand that, but I think so. I have a hard time saying that Utah State's defense is more worried about handling Bo Hodge than they would have been Tanner Mangum. I don't know. What's your read on that? Would it be tougher to defend Bo Hodge than Tanner, in your opinion?
Well, I think the thing with Bo Hodge is that he seems to have he still looks like he has a good arm, but the fact that he's mobile is always problematic for any defense if you have that option where the quarterback can get out and scramble on you.
One thing I noticed is he did keep his eyes downfield on the scramble better than I thought he would. He is a little bit more mobile. That can extend play. It causes a little bit more trouble. Might have to spy a little more defensively. I don't know, though. It's his first time playing on the road. If Maverick Stadium is noisy, how does he handle that? I think Bo Hodge is still a wild card. I don't know what he is, what he can and can't do totally yet. But it's my belief that, I think that Bo Hodge is capable. They can move the ball a little bit, but I don't know. Eric, maybe the conversation is about Ty Detmer. because I don't think that any quarterback has looked particularly good under Ty Detmer and all of his games here. And here's my money stat for you on that, is that BYU has failed to reach 200 passing yards against an FBS opponent for 10 straight games. And that's the longest stretch without a 200-yard passing game for BYU football since 1972. That's Tommy Hudspeth era football for BYU. And we only stop at 1972 because there aren't box scores available before then.
Wow.
So not great. Not great. It's been the most inept period of passing that they've had. And I think that's something for everyone to watch for. Ty Detmer has generated game plans that will give a couple of looks that will work. But as soon as the opposing defensive coordinator and the defense is privy to Detmer's offensive designs, it doesn't appear that BYU has a plan B available to them offensively. And so if the Utah State coaching staff can make adjustments, and if they can do that quickly, it could be a really tough night once again for the BYU offense in Logan.
Last question for you. Utah State likes to play with pace this year. They're moving to the ball quickly. They're trying to get the next playoff quickly. How does that play against that BYU defense? Have they faced anybody that plays with similar pace like that within the last season or so?
No, not as much as I remember. They played West Virginia last year. And they struggled with that. Toledo plays up pace, and they gave up over 50. So I think that can always be tough on a defense, especially if the offense doesn't sustain any drives. They've already had such a problem with time of possession, and the disparity between how many offensive downs we've had versus defensive downs is enormous. And so that can only be a problem if the offense – I think it would be more of a problem if the offense doesn't move the ball at all. And, you know, in terms of defensively, they already regiment and send in – they kind of – it's like hockey. They send a whole line in. They change the defensive line. You'll notice that during the game tomorrow. They'll send in entirely different safety groups. And, I mean, they really do these big mass changes and substitutions, and they do it frequently. So I think that they'll be able to stay a little fresh there, but if the time of possession is really in favor of the Aggies, if they can, you know, go fast with that pace like that and still move the ball, yeah, that's going to be an advantage for Utah State for sure.
Well, I think it's going to be a fun game. These two teams are, I think, are interesting positions in their seasons so far. The Vegas line opened at like 6.5 for this game, and it's down to like 1.5 today.
Yeah, can I talk about the absurdity of BYU opening at 6.5 for just a second?
Yes.
BYU's averaging 6.3 points per game against an FBS opponent this year. And we were favored by 6.5.
That's assuming Utah State does nothing.
We don't score 6.5 points per game. That's absurd. I would say betting on BYU and laying 6.5 on them would be unadvised. That would have been my feeling. I think it, rightly the people laying the money down are all over the Aggies, and I think there's good reason for that.
Well, Keith, it's been a lot of fun talking to you and catching up. I appreciate your insights. And again, Keith Schertz, contributor on VanquishTheFoe.com, and has his own podcast called Cougar Cast, giving us the BYU perspective, getting ahead to planning ahead for what's going to happen tomorrow night on Merlin Olsen Field between Utah State and BYU. Keith, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I hope BYU wins, but good luck to the Aggies.
All right, duly noted.
All right, so again, thank you so much to KVNU for having me on their program. A couple things. First of all, I know that I came off in that interview as somebody who is not feeling so good about the BYU football team, but really, that's kind of where we should be, isn't it? Like, I know that BYU and Utah State, I mean, BYU almost always wins that game. But, you know, if there was a year to feel vulnerable, this is it. And one of the things that I know is a big talking point with the fans up in Logan right now, and it was discussed before I came on, was that this is one of the few times that they can remember, maybe ever, where this game means more and is more important to BYU than it is to Utah State. And You know, we touched on it briefly, but there's a more reasons than simply the future schedule. The thing is the Utah State game traditionally, if somebody loses to Utah State, that results in a firing of a coach. That results in massive and drastic changes being taken within the program. And so that's something to watch out for if things don't go BYU's way in Logan. I think ultimately, I just don't know what we're going to see. I hope that Utah State has struggles against that BYU offense. I hope Bo Hodge gives a lot of trouble to Utah State. I really think that the Cougars have to go out and acquit themselves and be able to show that they can play with some confidence, with skill, and be sound with it. I honestly feel, though, that the biggest thing to watch for, and I talked about it in the interview, is BYU's ability to adjust and be able to make changes as the game goes on. And that's a coaching issue. And I really feel that if the coaches are able to make adjustments to keep the opposing defense confused offensively, to be able to generate pressure with exotic blitzes or to blitz more frequently, if they can have linemen drop back and do different unique things defensively to really confuse Utah State, that can help. But honestly, if they don't show anything to confuse the other sideline, they're not going to win. They can't just out-execute here. They've got to outsmart. They've got to be, you know, clever in the way that they do it. BYU hasn't looked good enough at all this year to feel that you can just go in there, play your brand of football, which, what is that? We don't have an identity. But play your brand of football and be able to go out and just win through clean execution. That's been good enough in a lot of years against Utah State. I suspect that this isn't the best Utah State team we've seen, but they're, I think, above average team that you normally get there. And the Aggies are at home, and it's a very important game for that fan base in that market. And I just think this is a scary game. And we will learn everything we need to know about the team, especially for the rest of the year, based on how they perform in this game. A players-only meeting, I just think all of those things, they've taken every last resort. They had a bye week to get ready. They had a players-only meeting. If they don't show well for themselves this week, this is going to be an extremely tough year for BYU. And I don't suspect they'll make a bowl game. So yeah. I think maybe this is a bigger game for BYU than it is Utah State. Because I think it's a referendum on what the state of our program will be as we move forward. It will certainly indicate that changes have to be made somewhere within the team, because they've done every last drastic move that they can. And so, I don't know if changes have to be made, supposedly, if it's a one-point game, it's the performance. I guess if they lose and the performance is still like, well, they played well, it looked like things came together, and they executed, some things went the wrong way, and they didn't get it, there was a couple bad calls by the refs, whatever, I suppose there is that very slim loophole. But this is a massive, massive game, and I look forward to seeing what happens tonight at Maverick Stadium, Merlin Olsen Field. So I hope you all enjoy the game. Again, apologize for getting this one out a little bit too late, I suspect, and we appreciate that. We will be back with a podcast much earlier in the week next week, and we will have Tosh. But again, thank you to KVNU and Eric Francis for having me on the Full Court Press. I hope you enjoyed that interview. And that'll do it for this week of CougarCast. I hope the Cougars get the win. I am not making any predictions. Total wild card game. And honestly, actually, that's one other point. If you look at all the advanced stats numbers, if you look at what the computers think of BYU, they are all over the map. they don't know what to make of BYU right now. There are some computers that still believe in them that really factor strength of schedule in hardcore. There's, you know, other computers that really think that BYU is really, really poor. My favorite that I like to follow is Bill Connolly's S&P Plus, and we said last week that BYU was 123rd. Through the bye week, actually improved their ranking. So playing nobody actually made them improve better. But I do think that BYU's still a wild card. We don't know totally what we're going to have. I don't think that you could feel totally confident one way or the other. So no predictions this week. I think it's just a whole ball of curiosity about what will happen. And I will certainly be watching as closely as you will. Go Cougars. I hope that they come out and it's the wild card that wins you the big hand. So let's see what happens with that. But again, thank you for listening. And that'll do it for this week of CougarCast. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!